Scripture reading is from Book of Daniel, chapter 6. We'll read the full chapter. It's on page 891 on Church Bible. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three chief ministers over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the chief ministers and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the chief ministers and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these chief ministers and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisors and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sunset to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all the bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and the peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, his dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves, he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Now, as I've already mentioned a number of times, we have just arrived in a new decade. Is our God able for the 2020s? Is our God able in the UK? Politically, we narrowly escaped having a neo-Marxist prime minister. We now have a neoliberal, the newspapers tell us, the very first prime minister not to profess to being a Christian. What further depletion of the Christian voice will we have in the UK in the coming decade? Is our God able? What if certain politicians push for laws that oppose Christianity? Is our God able? What if you're a refugee living in the UK, if you find that people resent your presence in this country? Is God able for you? Daniel was opposed by the politically elite in his day. He was a refugee living in a foreign land. It was never his desire to be there. He found himself as a stranger in a foreign land, hated because of his hard work and ability, opposed by religious discrimination. Is our God able in such circumstances? Remember that the God who is able and the God who shut the lion's mouth is also the God that allowed Daniel to be taken to Babylon in the first place. The same God who allowed the law to be changed. The same God allowed Daniel to be put into the lion's den. Is our God able in every circumstance? Perhaps the 20s, this decade, will mean for you more health problems, lifestyle challenges because of old age that imposes weakness and challenges. I was so encouraged when my son pointed out to me just a couple of days ago at the after New Year's Day, he said, "Dad, do you realize that you're entering into your 8th decade?" That's such a cheerful thought. For some, the past decade has seen bereavement, and we face life living with loneliness. In our loneliness, is God able? Many and varied will be the challenges that we will have to face. Is our God able in every circumstance and experience? The God who is able will allow such things. Our God is able. Daniel was born in Israel, but was taken as a prisoner to Babylon. But because he was a clever young man, he was chosen to work in the king's palace. Daniel longed to be back home in Jerusalem. It says that he prayed to God 3 times a day in his little room. One day Babylon was captured by the Persians. There was a new king called Darius. He knew that Daniel was a very wise man, even though he was a foreign prisoner. Whenever he needed help and advice, the king sent for Daniel. And Daniel always asked God for the right answers to the questions that were put to him. There were many other wise men in Babylon, and they became incredibly jealous of Daniel. "Why doesn't the king call for us when he needs help?" they said. Instead, he goes to this foreigner, Daniel. This Daniel, they said, needed dealing with. The wise men held their secret meeting. "Something will have to be done about Daniel," they said. "How can we get rid of him?" The plot that they developed was propelled by the great jealousy and envy that they had for Daniel. They were jealous as they saw his incredible rise, a rapid rise to the top of the political hierarchy. The trouble is, one of them grumbled, "He's such a good man. We can't get him into trouble for anything. He doesn't steal, he doesn't lie, he doesn't cheat, he's not lazy. Unfortunately for them, Daniel's behavior conformed to the profession of faith that he made. The only way we can get him into trouble will be if we can think up something to do with his religion. They need to undermine his position by setting up some kind of conflict between his loyalty for God against his loyalty to the government, the loyalty to the king. They concocted a treacherous scheme to trap Daniel. Their twisted minds came up with a devious plan. To set it in place, the very next day they went to speak to the king. King Darius, they said, live forever. You are the best king Babylon has ever had. Nothing is too difficult for you to do. And of course the king felt himself really important. And proud as he listened to these men, he prays upon him. We have a suggestion for you. And it's not just our suggestion. It's the whole political elite have agreed that this is something that you should do. Because you are such a great king with a great brain, you could pass a law that says for the next 30 days, the people must ask of no one else, either God or man, but they must only pray to you for whatever they need. Then everybody will know how great and mighty you are as a king. Now the scheme played into the king's own sense of self-importance. What a great idea, said the king. I'm surprised I haven't thought of it myself. Daniel was in the palace when the new law was read out. It said that anyone who disobeyed the law and asked his God for anything would be thrown into the pit that the lions slept in. They must look entirely to the king. With that first part of the plan in place, the next step was to go and spy on Daniel to see what he would do. And so they followed him home. Then they hid where they could watch him. Let's hope he asks his God for something, they said to each other. Then we'll have him and we will be rid of him for good. Daniel thought about the new laws as he went home. He always thanked God for his help. He always thanked God for taking care of him. But there were things he asked for as well. The king's law has said that he must not ask God for anything. But Daniel went to his open window. He started to pray to God just as he had always prayed. In fact, we are told that he prayed 3 times per day. Now, the Bible doesn't mandate us to pray 3 times a day, but perhaps Daniel picked up on what it says in Psalm 55, that evening, morning and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. The fact that it says that he prayed 3 times indicates that he wasn't just coming to prayer because of what the king happened to say. It wasn't an emergency thing, it was a habit of his to come and to pray. Praying was his habit. The text tells us that he prayed towards Jerusalem. Why did he pray towards Jerusalem? Well, we don't really know, but essentially the act might have been motivated by what Solomon says in 1 Kings 8. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray towards this place, why would they pray towards this place? Because this is the place where God's presence dwelt. When they pray towards this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. Daniel chose to obey God's law rather than the law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be changed. The men who were hiding nearby Daniel's window, they heard him asking God for what he needed. They were delighted that their plan had worked. They had everything that they needed now to entrap Daniel. They couldn't wait. They ran to tell the king that Daniel had broken his law. Daniel the foreigner, Daniel the exile, they said, he pays no attention to you. Why? Because he still continues to pray to his God. Immediately the king could see what was up, and he was sad. He never wanted to hurt Daniel. He hadn't thought of the possible consequences of the law that he had passed. He wished that he had made a better law, but he had been trapped by his own pride. These men were really jealous of Daniel. Now the king shall have to throw Daniel to the lions, and not even the king was above the law. King Darius couldn't break his own law. He had written his own name on the paper when the law was made, and the law could not be changed. So the soldiers from the palace went to Daniel. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." They took him to the den where the lions were kept and threw him in. The king went back to his palace. Who had a bad night? Not Daniel, because God had sent his angels and closed the mouth of the lions. Daniel kept God's law, but there did not appear to be an initial reward for what God was doing, for what Daniel was doing in obedience to God's law. For keeping God's law, Daniel is sentenced to death. We mustn't skip the steps here that take place. We mustn't jump straight to the rescue of Daniel. Many have kept God's law, and it ended in death for them. But whether this would end in death or not, Daniel was going to obey God's law. It was the right thing to do. The king could not sleep that night. He hoped that Daniel's God would be as powerful as Daniel said he was. The king hoped that Daniel's God would save Daniel from the lions. Early the next morning, before the palace servants were awake, King Darius got up. Everywhere was silent, and the king hurried to the mouth of the lion's den. He cried out, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, has he been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered the king, "O king, live forever. My God who is able, sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done wrong before you, O king." The king immediately ordered that Daniel should be removed from the lion's den, and for the men who plotted against Daniel, that they should be put in the lion's den. God overruled the evil intentions. God overruled the powerlessness of Darius in order to teach that generation and generations that would follow that our God is able to save his people in the midst of the most dire circumstances. The king issued a new decree. God is the living God. God is the eternal God. God will rule forever. God rescues and saves. That's amazing that a pagan king could post such a law and acknowledge that God is able. God is able to save. What does God do today? God is able to save through the Lord Jesus Christ. The living God, the God who is able, has sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, to die on the cross that we might be saved from our sins. Is our God able to do that? Yes, he is. Is he just in doing that? Is he right in doing that? Is he not overlooking something in doing that? Our God is able to save because Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins. The punishment that we were due was meted out on the Lord Jesus Christ. And today our God is a God who is able to save us from our sins because Christ has died on the cross. However sinful we have been throughout our lives, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ has triumphed over that sin and paid the price that sin deserves. Our God is able. Our God proves to us that He is a trustworthy God. Just as God saved Daniel, so He can save you if we trust in Him. There were, of course, many Christians that lost their lives being fed to lions by the Roman Empire. Did that mean that God was not able? Perhaps you feel that some kind of lion has got you. Be that illness, be that pain, be that employment issues, setbacks of one sort or another. God is trustworthy and able in every circumstance. The outcome may not be one to your liking. It may not be to your taste. But God is able to accomplish His will in our lives, and He will complete that will in our lives. Our God is able to save from the uttermost. Our God is able to take us through because He is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. You might well feel forsaken. You may well feel that God has turned His attention somewhere else. But God is trustworthy. And He says in His word that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But we might well ask the question, why then, if God is able, why was Daniel allowed to be taken into captivity in the first place? How do you think Daniel felt when the strong-armed soldiers came into his home and took him from his home, led him to a foreign land, and caused him to serve a foreign government? Why did God allow Daniel to be put there in the first place? Why did God allow the law to be changed? Why did God allow these men to appear to have such success? Why not step in immediately and just deal with it without having to put poor Daniel through all this? God is not only displaying His power when things are going well for us. He is displaying His power when things are going wrong for us. Do you think Daniel found it easy when he knew that all his colleagues and peers in the royal court, that they hated him, that they were jealous of him? How would you feel if you, in your workplace, if you knew that everyone was against you? If you knew that they would be willing to tell lies about you? If you knew that they were plotting to try to make you look bad, to discredit you? How might you feel? If you were asked the question in this circumstance, is my God able? And God shows this working in Daniel's life that we might learn that our God is able. In spite of the appearance of certain circumstances, God is in control. Some people think that the President of America is in control, that he might, by some foolish action, stir up a war in the Middle East. Some people thought that communism was going to take over the whole world. But in 1989, the Berlin Wall came down and things are so much different today. Powers and authorities and forces that you think are immovable, that you think are unchangeable, can be taken out of the picture so quickly because our God is able. This empire set themselves against God and they lost. As will everyone who sets themselves against God. They will lose because our God is able. God cannot be defeated. Many people today try to ignore God. They try to defeat God. They try to discredit God and mock God. But just as those men who tried to oppose God's servant Daniel were punished, so will everyone who refuses to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished. Everyone who opposes the kingdom of God in any way, God will be victorious over what might seem now seemingly incredibly powerful forces that are reigned against the church and God's people. Our God is able. God is the living God, and He commands us all to turn to Him for salvation. You say, but I have turned to Him. Perhaps maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, I turned to Him. But He wants you to turn to Him today. He has saved us. He is saving us. He will save us. And we must constantly look to the Lord Jesus Christ to save us today. Is our God able? God is able to save us. God is the living God, and He commands of us to turn to Him for salvation. He commands you to turn to Him and become a Christian, not to refuse Him, not to refuse His will, because He is the living God, and He will surely cause you to answer for your behavior, for your attitude. God is able to save. Just as He was able to save Daniel, He's able to save you, and He will forgive your sin. He will change your life. He will be with you. Being taken as a captive to Babylon, forced to work for a foreign government, hated by his peers, entrapped by his enemies, sentenced to death, cast into the lion's den, our God is able to deliver us. And through the decade that lies ahead, if God chooses to spare us, He will be with us. He will be with the church in this nation. He will be with the church of Christ across the world. Because Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Not merely is God able to deliver, but He is able to allow us to prosper in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. Look back over the last decade. What has that decade meant for you in your Christian life? Have you grown in faith? Have you grown in understanding? Have you grown in love? Have you grown in obedience? And what will the decade that lies ahead be if we're spared to the end of this decade? And as we will look back over the 20s, will we be able to see those milestones that were set up at times when we trusted in God, when we had faith and dependence on Him? How can we face the future? We can face the future because our God is able. Able to deliver. Able to save. A God who will never leave us, never forsake us. Our God is able.